You know, I've just been having this weird urge to take things slow or at least say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You want to say?
Now that we have all this time where life is in such a rat race, I want to be able to like, yeah, we got to take things slow. Yeah, I just want to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I do want to also take things slow and just calm down, just breathe, relax, and just do things with pinpoint precision for a little while.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something about this time where you're finding out more of who you are, or you're truer to yourself. You know, it's an isolated time. You're with your family, right? And everybody had all these big plans about, oh, I'm going to work out 100 times, or I'm going to learn a language, or I'm going to, you know, do this or that, learn to play guitar. And then we've realized, like, no, if it's not something that you're putting time into before, you're not putting time into it now. You're really... You know, yeah. If you weren't making the effort to do it before, you're not making the effort to do it now.
Yeah, and like you were saying, I guess this is a time where you really get to only answer to yourself.
Yeah.
Which means now you get to see what you want of yourself.
Yeah.
And then it's like, fuck.
Yeah, sometimes that might be hard to face.
Yeah, I'm not a good motivator of me. I'm bad for me.
You're bad for you?
I'm bad for me. I need to break up with me, just be single for a little while,
yeah.
Build myself back up,
yeah.
And then see how I am later. See if I can get back into a relationship with me later. See if I change a little bit so that when I go back to me that we're both different.
How do you do that, though?
I don't know.
You have to let somebody else run your life for a little bit?
You can't do that because then you're not answering to yourself for yourself.
Yeah, so how do you do it?
We need to go back to work for a little bit and then quarantine again. We need it to be scheduled.
Yeah.
This was an unscheduled time to answer to yourself.
You need a scheduled time.
You need a scheduled time. This was a surprise. It's a surprise. You got to start doing stuff for yourself.
Right. It was a surprise. There was no planning, no time to make lists and notes and prioritize and figure it out.
I guess it was like, surprise, you're going to find out who you really are. And then we were like, no.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to know who they really are.
No.
Nobody
then,
wants to know that.
Yeah, no. Life's not quite as much fun.
No. I found out that I'm not nearly as disciplined as you are in this time.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
You don't like that.
Take it back, quarantine. Take it back.
I found out that how much I need discipline in my life.
Yeah.
I'm such a square. I'm such a, like, I don't know.
I would get jealous of other comedians that seem to be able to do okay without having to have all of the same, I guess, restrictions to discipline that I felt like I had to have.
Yeah.
To do well.
Yeah.
You know, other comedians can get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Get up on stage drunk.
Yeah.
You know, not write jokes, you know, accurately. And then there are comedians that can get on stage high and crush.
Yeah.
I can't do any of that.
No.
You know, I have to be so disciplined. Like, I have to spend the whole entire day. Like, if I don't, like, I've heard people come to comedy shows after having done nothing all day long, not being able to talk to anybody. Or not. I don't want to say not being able to, but just because of the life of a stand-up comedian, they didn't talk to anybody all day until they get on stage for the first time.
Yeah.
If I don't talk to you or people all day, or if I'm not silly all day or part of my day before getting on stage, it's tough going for me.
Yeah.
You know, I have to make it happen.
You need prep.
Yeah, I have to. Well, it's not necessarily that I need prep. It's just that I need to get myself in the right zone. Right. And I can do well. I mean, I'm a stand-up comedian. I mean, I can have a good set because I've been doing this for a long time and I'm good at it.
Right.
But as far as having the set that I wanted to have.
Right.
Like I need to get in the right zone. I need to be silly all day. I can't be sitting here getting pissed off at liberals all day and then go get on stage and crush.
You're too intense. I am.
I'm too intense. I need to separate my intensity. I need to be like. Either serious intense or silly intense.
Yeah.
But not, I mean, I gotta, it's intense either way. It's intense either way. I gotta be intense. Yeah. I also feel kind of accomplished just reaching out to our first potential real guest.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's,
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll hear back from her, but I feel good about it.
You got to start getting rejected to get accepted.
Basically.
Right?
I mean, I don't know if that has to be the case.
Yeah, but you have to risk it.
But that's what we're risking.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're trying to get on the podcast an extreme radical leftist feminist named Sophie Lewis.
Somebody that Sydney wants to agree with.
Well, her whole thing is that she wants to abolish the family.
Yeah.
You know, and other feminist talking points that I want to.
Which is an interesting choice because you chose her. It's an interesting choice from you because we're a very family oriented.
We're a very family oriented family.
Yeah.
But we're also a non-traditional family.
True.
In almost every sense of the word.
Yeah.
So when she's speaking about abolishing the family, from what I understand, she's talking about abolishing the traditional idea of what a family is.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm curious about. Like, what structure replaces that in this theory?
Mostly drugs. You replace family with drugs, traditionally.
I thought it was a nudist colony.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, you know, it'll probably be a Zoom meeting if she wants to be topless, but we'd have to show her from the shoulders down. You know, she can be nudist. If she's a nudist, she can be nudist for this. It is a... Because I was raised by a non-traditional family structure in that my primary caregivers, or at least the people that I would consider my primary caregivers, were
they didn't
mom.
Consider themselves. Yeah, no. They're like, oh, I don't know about this kid. He's not my responsibility.
Who? Yeah, I don't know him. He don't live with me. Yeah, but so my primary caregivers, I would say, would be my mom and my stepmom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have a dad. They weren't lesbians. I have a dad.
Yeah.
Right? So, who is also kind of present. Like, as far as being
in the neighborhood.
You know?
Waved him when you drive him down the street a lot. Like,
he was a vacant dad, but you could never call him a deadbeat dad. Right?
Yeah.
He would honk the horn if he went by me. But I knew other people whose dads would ride by and like not even act like they didn't see him.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Brooks, RIP Mike Brooks, like a good comedian friend of mine that passed last year, he had a joke. And I think I can say the joke because he's passed, so I'm not necessarily burning his material as much as I'm celebrating it in this moment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Mike Brooks has this joke that it would just hit different with all of the black comedians in the room when we would hear it. You know? He would go, I had what was known as a sometimes dad. You know what a sometimes dad is? That means when he would ride by the house, sometimes he would wave at me. And then he would add this part. It was a tag. It was like I can talk about it because I don't feel like it never really hit the way he wanted it to hit.
Yeah.
And then he had like another tag after it that he would smack onto it. But so he would tell that joke and then he would go, he would like look at the car going by, and he would be like, you know, why don't my dad want me no more? Right? Mm-hmm. Which is a line from the Fresh Prince show. Mm-hmm. So like he would say that. So he would do the joke and it would get a big laugh. And then he would get that, he'd hit that, why did my dad want me no more? And everybody get real sad.
Yeah.
And then he turned to the crowd like, what, am I the only person that saw Fresh Prince? And then, oh, thank you. Oh my God, I thought your life was sucky. Like, oh my God, I thought I had to feel so bad for you, black guy. But yeah, it's...
Your dad always honked and waved?
I mean, because my dad, he's just... He's distant.
And intense.
And very intense. He's very
in himself.
Intense. He's intensely distant. I was raised by an intensely distant father. So now I have my, even in my house, right? So my mom, she has three children. All of us have different dads,
mm-hmm.
right? And then my dad had kids with my stepmom.
Yeah.
So I have, what is it? So I have Nicole, Michael, Angel, Derek, Daris, Alicia, Bobby. I have seven siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the same mom and dad as any of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-traditional.
That's not traditional.
I think that's what this feminist is going for.
Yeah.
She wants us. She's like, she wants to abolish the family and have what I had.
I don't know if she wants what you had, though, because it's supposed to be like you choose. Somehow I think it's going to be like you choose supportive, a supportive.
No, you should never get to pick your family. You should never get to pick
them. Yeah, I don't think you should either. You know, you can't pick a family as a kid. You don't know what you need.
Yeah. If you pick a family, that can only ever be a substitute. It can never be as good as the real
thing. It's like somehow that's like Willy Wonka, right? Like that doesn't work. You can't.
Circumstances have to determine your family.
Yeah.
That has to be the way that it is.
Yeah.
And then you all have to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
That's what family is.
Yeah.
Family is, well, I don't want to be here either. That's family.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, well, I guess we got to make the most of it.
Gotta.
That's love.
That is love.
Yeah, so Sophie Lewis, I mean, if you know her, if you have access to her, she tweets at Sophie Lewis, SophieLewis. She doesn't have direct messaging on her Instagram anymore. When I went to her website, that was one of the ways that I was told to be able to contact her.
Oh, but she probably doesn't want it anymore.
Not anymore. But she does. I did email her. I did follow all the protocols, everything that her website said.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be able to get that guest on here and figure out what the hell is her deal.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, break that down. You know, and just, you know, just taking things slow. Just taking things. It'll happen when it happens.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But just put it out there into the universe just so that energy can help magnetize it towards us.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Whatever you do to help us make that happen, we appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm digging your take. I just want to take it slow. You got to take it slow.
Yeah.
Got to take it slow. I'm digging it because right now everything's like shut down, right?
Yeah.
So all you can do is like tiny little steps towards your goals.
You might as well.
Yeah.
You might as well just incremental steps.
Yeah.
What's the rush?
Yeah.
We have all the time in the world. Accomplish that one accomplishable goal and then see what's next.
Yeah.
You know, I also want to shout out because, you know, this is our short episode, so we don't do shout outs at the end of this episode. But I got to send a shout out to Julian and Meg. I keep saying Julian's name first because I respect the patriarchy.
Oh, you do.
And that's just
what's wrong with you.
It's God's plan. That's not my fault. God did that. God said God over man over women, women over children. I have to honor that.
This is like the only time you reference God.
I have to. I'm only religious when I need women to shut the hell up.
Yeah, apparently.
When I need women to just like, just chill. Let me say this. God. Okay? Yeah. God.
You're just trying to trump everything.
But yeah, big shout out to Julian and Meg.
Meg and Julian. Thank you, Meg. Meg, you're amazing.
Yeah, Meg. So Meg is our seamstress. We always shout her out at the end of the episode along with Julian, her husband. And Meg, she also has a podcast called Sew and Tell. She's a seamstress. It's all about sewing. Her and her ladies, they get on there and they have a good time. They're three charming ladies. You know? Have a good time with them. She also has an Instagram, meg.says.so. So why we're shouting her out is that she made some masks, some pandemic quarantine masks.
She knew how irresponsible we were, and she was going to take care of us.
Yes.
And we appreciate it.
We definitely appreciate that.
My mom appreciates it.
Oh, my God. Your mom was like, oh, my God. Thank you.
Like every phone call, my mom was like, did you make this mask yet? Did you make this mask yet?
But really, it could have just as easily been your mom calling you and going, I know you didn't make those masks yet. I know you didn't make those masks yet.
Yeah.
But so she made us a mask. They're really high quality.
Yeah.
Professionally done, of course. Like she's a seamstress. Like she's able to get everything right.
Yeah.
You know, but she also is making it available for you to learn how to do it. Just again, reach out to her at meg.says.so. And that's her Instagram page, direct message her or whatever, and she'll send you how to make those masks. So, you know, I don't know. Like, maybe we can also, if you have a leaky vagina, she could probably make you a mask for that. Right?
What'd you go there for?
I'm just saying, she's a woman, so if you have a leaky vagina, like, she probably knows how to make a mask for that because she's also a woman.
I hear what you're saying, but just wondering why you need to talk about leaky vaginas.
I'm just saying, like,
I just feel like you're trying to like be better than women. Like, I don't have a leaky vagina. You might have a leaky vagina because God said so.
I just don't want you spreading COVID. That's all I'm doing. I'm just trying to make sure you're not out there spreading COVID, ladies.
I forgot that was the cause.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, don't, you know, let's get Sophie Lewis in here first and let her judge what I'm saying and whether or not it's right or wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's an extreme feminist. You're just playing with it. you're a poser. You're a feminist poser.
I'm not a poser. I'm a dabbler.
Yeah. You're only a feminist when you want something in the immediate sense. Right. When you want the last bite of something that I have, suddenly you're a feminist. When you don't want me to share your food, suddenly you're a feminist. Yeah. So what's up? What's been going on? You know, you've been flogging. You've been getting all disciplined.
I've been flogging, yeah.
You've been getting jacked. You've been doing like 3 a days. It's insane.
Yeah.
Man, the discipline level that I've been seeing from you is out of this world. I almost want to do a video, like a workout video, where we can show the different types of working out. Like, you'll go your intense method, and I'll show you my day-to-day stoner dad method of working out. You know, because it doesn't have to be insane. You don't have to ruin your body every time you work out. You can do what I do. I'm jacked. Look at me. I'm jacked. I barely break a sweat when I work out.
Or if you need something to clear your mind. You know what it is? It's like, I guess I've gotten to that point in this quarantine that I've realized working out and sports and athletics and whatever, that outlet for me is when it clears your mind for you. And I feel that clarity when, you know, you go hard so that you can't think about anything else. Like, yeah. You're totally, like, that's my intensity, right? And so I realized I needed that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm jumping in. Like, I was going to jump in today with the discipline. And I had it all mapped out. I finished the box of cookies last night. And I was like, finally, I got these fucking cookies out of our life.
Yeah.
Now I can get disciplined.
Yeah.
And then I bought more cookies today. It was tough. It was tough. They're in the bread aisle.
I know.
That sucks. I have to walk past them.
We always need bread. Yeah.
They're the best cookies I've ever had in my life. I know. Sucks. So yeah, I at the same time, I gotta figure this out around these cookies.
You do.
I can't. Like, every time a box of cookies comes into my life, it's gonna ruin me. I can't have that.
No.
I can't have that. So I'm trying to, I wanna get back. I remember there was a time when we were young, where we just had this, anything, we can make anything happen, you know? Yeah. And we were those two people, like, we could make anything happen. And then somehow, it's almost like once you have kids, you almost don't want that risk anymore. Mm. Because when you're like, oh, we'll just figure out how to make it happen. That can take a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Like, the figuring out and the making of things happening.
Yeah.
That can take up a lot of your time. So when you have kids, you kind of have to sacrifice. Like, do I want to give the proper attention to my kids or the proper attention to accomplishing these impossible tasks?
I think that's the trick, though. You have to figure out how to make your kids also give the attention to your task.
Yeah. We got to teach our kids how to critique comedy.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a setup. This is a tag. All right, let daddy know when he's fucking it up, all right? Yeah, no, it's, but I just, because those are the people that I admire the most. The people that seem to make things happen against all odds.
Yeah.
Those are the people that I love. So I've been seeing examples of that popping up. But right now, the two prime examples for that, not just for me, but for the country. Who would you say?
Oh, geez.
No, it sucks. It's going to suck.
And maybe even try to make me say it.
Maybe
too.
Even for the world.
Oh, geez.
Maybe even for the world. I mean, but there's two examples, so you don't have to say the one. There's two examples. Can you get the other one?
Oh, it's making do you it
have
happen.
Do you have to speak past the first one? Do you have to, like, say the first one just so that name is out of your way so you can move on to the second one because you might be hindered by trying not to say that one? You want to just say it?
Yeah, I mean, if you would take off your Trump hat right now, it might make it easier for me. But, yeah. So Sydney's been cheering Trump quite hard the past couple weeks. He's killing it, is what Sydney tells me.
I think he's crushing it.
He's crushing it.
I think he's crushing it. Even if you would say that he didn't respond fast enough or in time, and let's just say that was somehow co-signed by the events, right?
People see this so differently than you, Sydney. Do you know how differently people see this than you?
Yes.
Like real life people. Okay.
Yeah. But there are also real life people that see, like, I just think he's crushing it despite all of the opposition.
Yeah.
There are other people that just think he's perfect in everything that he does. Like, I'm not that
either. I don't know
either.
If there's any of those people.
No, trust me, there is.
Yeah.
There is. I mean, okay. So I just think he's crushing. So even if you don't think that he's responding or did respond in a proper time.
Yeah. I don't even think people have an issue with that. I think people just hate him and the way he talks and like the arrogance that they think he operates with.
But it's that is the underlying issue. But then people manufacture things to put that issue onto.
Which okay, so I will get on board with you with that, is that people need to stop acting like everything's bad and blaming people, and he's handling it. And everything's come in. All the numbers have come in better than expected.
He's not going to get credit for that.
And no.
But it's okay. I don't need him to.
So it is what it is. So I mean, things are looking up, right?
So even if you think that he didn't respond fast enough, look at the way he's handling the criticism. They're like, you didn't respond fast enough. And he's like, yes, I did. Next question.
I know you love that about him.
I love that. To me, that's crushing it.
Yeah. So okay, we've got that out of the way.
If you don't let the haters pull you down in your time of questionable behavior or questionable actions or seeming failures, if you don't let people bring you down to the level of disgraced human, and you stay up there. You stay up there in this like godlike mentality you have of yourself.
Yeah.
Dude, you're crushing it. As far as I'm concerned, you're crushing it. I don't have to like you.
Yeah.
I will respect that though.
Okay.
Right? I will always respect that.
Yeah.
So the other example.
Is it the other crazy president from? Is it Puerto Rico? The guy that was like, we're going to shoot the people. And then he was like, I was just talking.
That's the Philippines.
You know me. No,
that's like having that discussion between whether or not Batman or Superman is the more brave hero, right? Yeah. And then you say, well, it has to be Batman. That would be Trump. It would have to be Batman because Batman doesn't have any superpowers.
Right.
He has to actually go into the face of danger and face the actual danger.
Right.
But when you're the president of the Philippines, you can just start shooting people. Yeah. That is a fucking superpower.
Yeah.
He's Superman.
Yeah.
The president of the Philippines is fucking Superman.
Yeah.
You know, because he not only did he like said some really questionable stuff about homosexuals a little bit ago, like last year, or we talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
So it's like, not only is he not facing criticism, they can't criticize him.
Yeah.
That's a superpower.
Yeah.
That's a he's Superman.
That's
right?
Fair. Yeah.
So no, it's not him. He's not the other person.
I don't know. You want to tell me? Give me a hint?
Yeah, I do want to tell you. I want to sing it from the rafters, man.
Okay.
Dana White. UFC president Dana White.
Why? Okay. What is he up
to? So, again, it's very important to first preface this with things did not come together for him, but he attempted to.
Okay.
So UFC 249 was supposed to be Khabib Nurmagomedov against Tony Ferguson.
Okay.
Khabib Nurmagomedov has the UFC lightweight championship belt. Now, you don't have to know the UFC you're fighting to be able to follow this.
It's going
to
be a big fight.
It's going to be a big fight. One of the biggest fights expected to be like probably in history. Like it's huge, right? And Khabib Nurmagomedov is from Dagestan, and he has a huge Russian following, and Russia's huge. So worldwide, he's a celebrity. Maybe not so much in America, but worldwide, he's a celebrity. Now, UFC 249 was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen, I think, I want to say April 18th.
And they've been, like, having some UFC fights without people in the stands.
They had one.
Okay.
Like right when the
beginning?
Coronavirus started in the quarantine and lockdown
started.
This was back when you could still gather, but no more than 10.
Right.
So, okay. And again, that illustrates how much of a get things done person Dana White is.
Yeah.
So he has this business, which is the UFC. They put on fights, which are events that sell out stadiums, and stadiums have to be built for this.
Yeah.
Just to be able to house the number of people that, I mean, they're like up 20,000, like thousands.
They jump through so much red tape because it's different in every state and they've got to figure this out and they do it. And yeah.
So when that started happening, they just started figuring out ways to make this happen, ways to make get it on TV and make it a watchable and exciting event. And first it was only 50 people and they start figuring out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was only 10 people and then they figured out how to make that happen. And they had the event. It was a decent event. And then going further, we know what happened with the pandemic. Things just start getting crazy.
Yeah.
Lockdown started. It was canceled. Like everything's done.
Yeah.
So Dana White's trying to figure out his way around everything. He's talking with the government. He's trying to figure out his way around everything. And ESPN, they have a deal with ESPN, and ESPN is owned by Disney. That's important for later on. So Dana White is trying to figure out everything he can to do this because there are federal mandates on social distancing. So he was like, okay, well, if there's federal mandates on social distancing, how about I just start going to the casinos, the Indian casinos, where they have different federal obligations. They don't have to necessarily abide by the same federal laws that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So they start going with the Indian casino and they were working on that solution.
That's smart, pretty, right? Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, this motherfucker bought an island.
What? Like
just in international waters.
What?
So that they can have fights there.
Are you serious?
And they were building the infrastructure to be able to have it done by the 18th so they could have
what?
This card, this UFC 249 card.
Okay.
Right? So they had everything done. And they were like, we're not going to tell everybody what this is because it's the naysayers. It's the people. It's the American citizens that are like, he shouldn't be doing that. If we have to quarantine, he has to quarantine.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
By an island.
By an island.
In international waters.
It's called Fight Island.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, and it exists now.
What?
They have Fight Island.
They're like hella plain people.
Going forward, they will have events at Fight Island. I'm so pumped about that, right? And then
that's like every like crazy samurai movie where like people get invitations and they go to Fight Island.
That's the only dream you have if you ever wanted to fight.
Yeah.
Is to go to an island
where all the greatest fighters come, all the different styles.
And only one man can leave.
Yeah. And you get to eat a fancy dinner there.
Hell yeah, you do. I mean, it's basically, it's what? Enter the Dragon? Or no, Faces of the Dead. It's like the one Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they all went to I forget which one it was.
Yeah.
It's Mortal Kombat. It's Street Fighter.
Yeah.
It's every fucking fight thing, right? Yeah. So
Fight Island
exists
now.
But then it was like the people. The people were objecting. You know, people who wouldn't even know the humans, the American citizens,
the humans,
like the people who wouldn't even have been at that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so under that pressure, ESPN, the head of ESPN, the head of Disney, put Dana White on a conference call and they were like, we can't do this.
Yeah.
We got to not do this.
Yeah.
And then Dana White got on an interview and he was talking about how it came to be canceled.
Yeah.
And he was saying, listen, there are some people in this world that if they get naysayers and people complaining, they'll bend to that. I don't bend to that. That's not me. We would have had this if it wasn't for people that bend to that type of shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I love you, dude. I love you, dude.
Yeah.
Just the way he just went to make things happen. So anyway.
And he didn't try to sidestep it and be like, look, guys, we're being responsible. He was like, no, it was them.
Yeah. It was totally them. It was because he's of course like his fighter's safety is top priority because they make him his money.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was going to have it irresponsibly.
No.
You know, so
it was going to be on Fight Island.
Fight Island.
There were no cases of COVID on Fight Island.
Not a single one until they took workers there to start building.
Yeah.
He took COVID to Fight Island, fought it. Yeah. We'll fight COVID here. All right. So, yeah, so I mean that's our short episode, right?
Yeah,
that's our little mini checking in on you guys, hoping everything is okay, hoping you're figuring out how to get things done. Maybe take things slow, slow down.
Take things slow.
You
and
might
get
be
your
rushing.
Discipline on.
Get your. I mean, and it doesn't
Slowly.
Have to be now,
no.
right? Something doesn't have to be accomplished now. You have time.
Just do something
right
do
now
a
while
something.
You have time. Right, a little bit, a little here, a little there, and then. We'll be back Sunday, or we'll be back to record and do our longer episode that we always do. And then we're also putting those on YouTube. If that strikes your fancy, check that out. because our numbers don't match right now. Our YouTube numbers and our podcast listeners are astronomically different.
Yeah, but I'm okay. People don't want to see us.
Well, I mean, it's like if they listen to the podcast,
yeah,
they're not going to go watch the same podcast.
No.
You know? So, and then because of the way we do it, the video one comes out like a day later than the other one. So it's like, what, are you going to wait?
No.
No, it's like it's the pandemic. They want to be not bored now. So, and then, you know, we'll come back and talk about what they're doing to the blacks in China. They're getting them out of there.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. But thank you so much. As always, this is the short episode. No shout outs other than the ones we did for the people making our also Chris Tucker, who made us our beef jerky.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't eaten it yet because I'm terrified. Because we get this beef jerky, which is basically pandemic food.
Yeah.
If shit goes bad. Yeah. So I feel like we have to keep it until it gets ugly. Right?
Yeah.
But it's like, we got to eat it and make him ship us some
more.
Like,
we'll get some more. Like, stock up.
Some bug out jerky. All right. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are amazing. We love you. Yeah. She got you.